Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Have you replaced the spring of living water with a latte? In today's episode, we address the problem of eating for comfort.
Just as feasting is appropriate for celebration, fasting is appropriate for times of sorrow for the purpose of humbling your soul in the time of sorrow. God designed us to have a reduced appetite when there's a time of sorrow. It's the design of the body. When calamity strikes, some great sorrow, some great fear, anxiety comes into your life, appetite naturally diminishes, or sometimes it disappears altogether. There are people, they'll lose a loved one, they'll go days without wanting any food at all. And all the people around them are saying, you gotta eat. No, they don't gotta eat, just leave them alone, let them fast. That's God's design. In fact, I think you can even see physiological signs that God designed it that way. I read one study this week that seemed to show a connection between anxiety and leptin levels. And it's interesting because leptin is the hormone that gives you the feeling of being satisfied and full after you've eaten. It's what makes you not want any more food. That's that hormone that does that. And in this study, they did things that created anxiety in these laboratory rats, and then when they did that, when they had the anxiety, the rats lost their appetite. They didn't want to eat. They didn't want the sugar water that they usually love. And then they adjusted the leptin levels in those rats, gave them more leptin, and their appetite for the sugar water returned. So there seems to be a connection that God even built into physiology between anxiety and lower appetite. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physiologist. You can take that for whatever it's worth. I don't care. But even without any physiological evidence, I think it's plain from Scripture that God designed sorrow to go along with fasting and reduced appetite. Now, some of you might be thinking, it's exactly the opposite of my experience. You know, my leptin's broke because, you know, feasting for celebration, I'm with you there, I do that, but when I'm sad, when I'm mad, when I'm anxious, when I'm worried, when I'm upset, I eat even more. I want to eat everything I see. Well, if that's you, I hope everyone has their steel-toed boots this morning. I'm just going to step on a few toes maybe, but this might sting. But I have to tell you, I'm convinced that eating for comfort is a malfunction of our hearts. It's not God's design. Feasting in a time of sorrow is out of place. It's out of place. In fact, it's actually interesting. I was reading about the leptin thing. Researchers were a little bit surprised when they studied obese people. One of the things they found is they didn't find what they expected to find. They thought maybe, well, just give them some leptin and they'll be just fine. But what they found is that when there's too much fatty tissue, there's such a production of leptin to where the body actually becomes resistant to it. Much like a type 2 diabetic is resistant to the effect of insulin. Their leptin really is broke. You eat too much, or you eat when you're not supposed to eat, and it can actually destroy what God designed in the body. But if we follow God's design, there should be a decreased appetite in times of sorrow. And so, not only does it go against God's design to eat for comfort, but it's actually a prideful thing to do. An arrogant thing to do because you're not submitting to God's design. And so you see in the Bible a connection very often between eating at a time of sorrow and pride. For example, Isaiah 22:12. The Lord Almighty called you on that day to weep and to wail and to tear out your hair and put on sackcloth. But see, there is joy and revelry and slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep, eating meat and drinking of wine. Till your dying day, this sin will not be atoned for. You're out there pigging out on beef and lamb chops and wine and all that in a time that should be a time of sorrow and repentance. and I will never forgive you for that, God says. Why? Why is eating for comfort so unforgivable? What's so prideful about it? It's prideful because suffering is designed to create a sense of emptiness in your life. And using earthly things like food or any other earthly comfort to fill that emptiness is an act of self-reliance, and it's an attempt at self-sufficiency, which is pride. So in Psalm 10:2, fascinating verse, it says, "In his arrogance, the wicked man boasts of the cravings of his appetite. And in his pride, the wicked does not seek the Lord." He boasts because he can fill that emptiness himself. The prideful man sees himself as the fulfiller of his appetites and desires and sees himself as the solution to the problem of his own emptiness. That's why it's prideful. It's prideful because when you eat for comfort, you're seeing yourself as the solution to the problem of your own emptiness. That emptiness that you feel in times of sorrow is designed to drive you to God, to the bread of life, the only one that can fill that emptiness in your soul. That's the design. But when we turn to some other remedy besides God, we're saying, "I don't need you, God. I got this. I got this. I sorrow comes into my life and it exposes this gaping hole of emptiness and neediness inside me, and I look at that and say, oh, I can fix that. I can take care of that. I can manipulate the world around me. I can use the resources around me to fill that emptiness. I don't need God. All I need is French fries, you know, or a batch of cookies, or a couple of beers, or a movie, or a nap, or some earthly comfort." That belittles God. We mock Him when we attempt to replace the bread of life with a bag of Fritos. The spring of living water with a latte. So, just as fasting goes along with humility in Scripture, overeating or eating in times of sorrow goes along with pride in Scripture. Deuteronomy 8:11. "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God." If your heart is not focused on God's Word, then eating and having earthly comforts around you will tend to lead to pride and self-reliance. That's exactly what happened to Israel. In Ezekiel 16:49, the rebuke for that says, "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundance of food, and comfortable ease, and did not help the poor and needy." With their abundance of food and comfortable ease came arrogance and selfish pride. That was a big reason for the defeat of Israel. The whole exile, a big reason for the exile was Israel's over-drinking and overeating. And you see that in the prophets. In fact, the NIV translation, I like it here, it says, "She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned." And those three go together. When we feel the sorrow, and grief, or fear, or some other kind of emptiness, any kind of emptiness, one of the purposes of those feelings, God gave you those feelings. And He let the circumstances happen that brings those feelings. And the reason He gave you those feelings, one of the reasons, is so that it would awaken our hearts to the hunger that we have for the nearness of God's presence. They're designed to make us desperate enough so that we'll finally seek God with all our heart. When you experience the emptiness that goes along with sorrow and anxiety and need, it should drive you to want to fill that emptiness, and the only thing that can do that is the bread of life. Sorrow awakens us to the thirst of the soul, makes you realize how thirsty your soul really is for the spring of living water, and that's the only thing that can quench that thirst. But the problem is our hearts are idol factories. We just look to everything else for what we should look to God for. We feel the emptiness or fear or sorrow or pain. We start looking to all kinds of earthly things all around us to numb those spiritual hunger pangs. For some people, maybe it's not food. It might be television or recreation or music or hanging out with friends or sex or alcohol or marijuana or painkillers. But for many people, it's food. It's food. You get upset, you hit the refrigerator. You get to the end of a rough day, you say, I deserve a treat. You know? You get angry, you take it out on a whole bag of potato chips. God teaches us to use food for the purpose of celebration. I don't know of any place in Scripture that teaches us to use food for the purpose of comfort in a time of sorrow. We're to look to God for comfort, not food. And the best posture from which to seek comfort from God is a posture of physical hunger. In times of great sorrow, we turn our backs on food as a way of saying, that's not enough for me right now. I'm not going to eat food because that's not enough. The strength and joy and fullness and everything that comes from that physical food just won't cut it for what I need right now. This hunger I feel in my stomach is a small sample of the massive hunger and weakness of my empty, emaciated soul, and I'm starving for an experience of the presence of God. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to turn to some earthly comfort right now because none of that is enough for what I need right now. It's a way of preaching to your soul. God sends that sorrow, that pain, and you say no to food, and you feel that hunger, you feel that emptiness, and you say to your body, you say to your soul, are you getting this? You see this, what's happening here? This is the emptiness of the soul. This is how much we need God. There's a sense in which you cheapen your pain by trying to address it with a superficial remedy. You know what I mean by cheapen your pain? Have you ever had somebody that cheapens your suffering? You know, you got this horrible thing, some big problem, you've been wrestling with it for years and years, decades, and you tell someone and they fire off some cheesy little thing off the top of their head that they, after thinking about it for 2 seconds, and then walk away thinking they've solved everything for you. And you know, you're just sitting there thinking, it's almost like they're saying to you, you're an idiot. You know, this thing you've struggled with for 20 years, I can solve it off the top of my head. And they, it's just demeaning, right? When people do that, that cheapens your suffering. But very often we do that same thing to ourselves, to our own suffering. Your suffering is a holy thing. It is an awesome thing. It is not whimsical. It is not random. It's not just something that happened. It is by God's design. He thought it through. He knows what He's doing. He has a purpose. He's giving you this suffering for a reason. And when we go for some earthly remedy, we're cheapening the whole thing. So we fast to teach our souls not to take big things lightly. Just like when you have a young child that, you know, he's joking around when he really ought to be serious. And so you sit him down and you try and teach him to take serious things seriously. We do that with our souls. Our soul, you just take, you know, food or TV or something like that, just throw it at your hungry soul, that cheapens it. You're like a child who just is oblivious to reality, and your soul needs to be taught, no, you need to take this seriously.
Using food to self-medicate when you're stressed or sad or bored or when you're experiencing any other negative emotion is dangerous because of what it does to your brain. When you experience pleasure, your brain releases dopamine. Dopamine's job is to make the connections in your brain between the pleasure and what caused that pleasure. And it does that in the memory and motivation centers of your brain. The result is that whenever you experience the same cues as last time, you will feel strong urges and cravings for whatever you used to get that feeling of pleasure last time. So it starts out as a conscious decision. I'm feeling stressed or sad, I'll have some ice cream. But once the dopamine has made those neural connections, then every time you feel sad or stressed, your body will have powerful urges and cravings for ice cream or whatever food your brain has identified as the solution to those feelings. This is how addiction works. And it's the same with alcohol or porn or sleeping or whatever you might use to medicate negative feelings. To reverse that requires cutting new neural pathways. So if there's a slice of pie in the house, you're free to eat it. Knock yourself out. Eat it whenever you want, anytime, except for a moment when you feel stress or boredom or sadness or whatever negative feeling you've been trying to medicate. That's the one time you must absolutely not eat it, because you need to change those ruts in your mind and cut new neural pathways. So if you're not feeling great, instead of eating, fast and seek God. And when you do get around to eating the slice of pie, make sure you connect the dots in your mind so that your brain understands the pleasure from the pie is an expression of God's kindness and favor. Then your cravings for pleasure will turn into cravings for God.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.